Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. Jordana, so good to be back here virtually with you. How are you? How's it going? How's your New York life going? I know we discussed a little last week that you were down south. You made your big triumphant New York return. How does it feel to be back now that you've kind of settled in?
It feels like it feels good and bad. It's tough to work out next to someone again when I used to be having my own space. So Mike actually, he saw me doing, I think I tweeted about this. He saw me doing a dance cardio class this morning, actually. And I'm like very uncoordinated. So he's like looking
over. I gotta say, knowing you as, you know, well as I do, a dance cardio class, I would sign up. I'd buy a ticket to watch with Mike. Like, what if we were just sitting there eating popcorn?
I'm gonna sell tickets to the show. Yeah, I mean, it's one, it's nice to be in the point in my relationship where I don't care.
Sure.
That he's, you know, that it's very unattractive. But he's like looking at me, and then he like, I'm doing it on my laptop. So he comes and he's like looking at the laptop, and he's noticing that like the moves that I'm doing are like not the moves that the girl who's like teaching the dance cardio.
Okay. Yeah, but that's the whole point of a workout class. You should look like shittier than the teacher.
Exactly. And I'm just, it's dance. So I look like ridiculous. And he's like recording me. We're going to have a conversation about that later.
I've been working out with a trainer over the phone. Can I plug him? Because he's been,
of course,
at Forzag on Instagram. I mean, I set aside how talented he is as a trainer. This guy is a beautiful man. So great follow for the ladies, I think.
Yes.
But I don't know how horrible that is to say, but I'm saying he's in incredible shape. But we've been working out together since like second week of the quarantine, which is a double-edged sword because this is when you say it that long, like I've been, and I work out with him over the phone.
By the time this episode comes out, it's July 1st.
I know. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And so the second week I was like, I hadn't been drinking the whole year. And then I'm like, fuck the not drinking thing. I am drinking in this quarantine. But then I was messaging. It's actually very cute. Him and his girlfriend are both trainers. And she's a listener to the show, too. I'm going to give out her Instagram because I don't want to get it wrong. And I was messaging with her, and I was like, yeah, I'm looking for Diana.fitness, and he is at Forzag. And they're like, couple trainers. Like, it's great. And I was messaging with her, and she was like, and I was like, I'm just looking to fit well in a t-shirt and not get out of control while I'm stuck in the house. And she's like, you got to talk to my boyfriend, and this guy at Forzag and I working out over the phone. So I know exactly what you're talking about, where, like, I look at Jess and I go, get out of here. This is about to be embarrassing. I'm about to look like a beached whale for an hour. So I need you to get out of here. But I'm like a trainer hater, quote unquote. Like, I don't want to walk around the gym with someone who's not really. This has been a fantastic experience. And he does free classes and so does she. And they're both great. But I working with him over the phone has been like a kind of a pleasure considering I'm on my phone all day just sitting there looking at, like, bullshit all day. So, like, it's, like, an hour away.
Away from your phone, yeah. At the very least, that's, like, the best part of working out.
Yeah, I just enjoy their attitudes, both of them, as, like, you know, how it comes to it. Like, but it's the hardest part is, like, I go to the roof. When I would do it in the apartment, it doesn't feel like stale air.
It doesn't feel the greatest, I would say. But, like, any workout studio, I guess, is, like, if you pump up the AC, anything feels like a little bit less stale,
yeah.
I think. Like a workout studio that I've been to is like kind of like, it's not like it's outdoors.
I know. I think it's more just like you're smelling your own carpet. Like it's
right.
Like,
and you're like sweating. I'm sweating on my like hardwood floors. Feels weird.
Yeah. And all of the at-home workouts aren't like quick. You can do every at-home workout easily, but you have to do it for a long enough period of time for it to matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, like all of us can do one push-up. It's easy to do a push-up. But then they're like, yeah, do a minute of push-ups. And you're like, go fuck yourself. Like, I don't want to do. And it's like you have to do, like, a thousand of something to like make it, you know, work out. I don't know. I just know all of our jeans are sitting in the closet and we all don't know if they fit and we're all just trying to get by until we get back to some sort of normalcy, right?
Yeah, but I think it's going to be like so hard to go back. Like now I'm kind of like into never leaving my apartment or speaking to anyone ever.
Really? You figured out
in
a lot.
In some ways.
Well,
I mean,
the other thing is like kind of to transition.
I mean, you never went to an office. So like
never went to
an
office.
A little different for you.
A little different, but also like I kind of like I've been going to bed at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. You know,
it's been 10 years since that has been a reality for me. I used to be out
every
night.
Do shows, yeah.
Do shows and like get home at 1 a.m. and then wake up and like I don't know. It's the only positive of this whole thing is that New York City has turned into Bourbon Street somehow. Every street is just serving drinks outside and everyone is just getting hammered.
Yeah, people are the weather's nice. People are out. It's like it feels like a new phase of weirdness.
A new phase of weirdness. Do you think this is like? I think that these outdoor kind of drinking on the street thing good for dating.
Yeah, I think that's a great date. You like go. You're outside. You like grab a drink from one of your supporting local businesses.
There you go.
Or you can go to the park. It's like it's kind of nice because it sort of forces you to do things like. During the day, I think day dates are probably much bigger than like they were, I would assume.
Sure. I mean, Jess and I are walking across bridges and shit. Like if someone was like, have you ever walked the Brooklyn Bridge? I'd be like, get out of here. I don't do that shit. And right now, like, I do that shit. You know, like,
I don't know if that's growing up. The Williamsburg Bridge the other day. We walk through parks now.
I do some parks. But I think the looseness with which people are drinking outside kind of promote, like, it's like a double, again, another double-edged sword of, like, I kind of walk by people outside. I'm like, I can have a beer. You know, like, it's never beyond me just because I can just, like, do. Now, like, the barriers, like, I could just Apple Pay, done. Like beer in hand 4 seconds later. I don't know. I got nothing to promote. It's tough to get on the road. I'm trying to do shows, but now comedy clubs have opened, and now they might close again, and now I'm just sitting here screaming into a microphone. What do you guys got going on at Betches?
Well, at Betches, we're having the Betches Sup is having a live show on Thursday, July 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern for America's virtual birthday party. So if you're a fan of the Sup or if you're not a fan of the Sup, I'm sure you'll love it. It's going to be really funny. Tickets are on sale now. Go to betches.co/suplive or go to the Betches Sup Instagram and you can find out more information. Should we get into today's show?
We should. We've chit-chatted, I guess, enough about it. Well, I said the one thing I was trying to say before was that like when you tell someone you've been working with a trainer for 3 months, the first thing they do is look you up and down, and then they're like, really? You know, like, oh, you have. And it's like I think there's like a mental fitness that's going on with me as well for all of you. Like, no, you look okay. You know,
with the trainer thing.
Yeah, I feel like
I've never had
stronger.
A trainer, but I've always. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like I've experimented with every form of working out except a trainer. It's because I'm so cheap.
Yeah, it's. I would say I'm recommending it. I think this guy, I just didn't realize how good they were at directing you. Like, you ever like see like someone try to put a tie on someone else and it's all backwards? So like you ever direct somebody to like put something on? You're like, no, your right hand. No, your left hand. No, your left. They're so good at being like right foot out, left foot back, like kind of adjusting your body to do it right, like without having like, oh, to do that over the phone, that's fucking tough. You have to reverse everything.
Yeah. I mean, like, it sounds like I could probably use one given my cardio, cardio dance party situation.
I look absolutely ridiculous. And then I go on the roof and sometimes there's little kids up there and they're just looking at me like, why are you jumping up and down doing like, it is amazing that like,
you feel like you're in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, I feel like I'm like I'm like, man, I wish I was a kid just running around and not thinking of working out. Like, this is my outdoor time, is to be sitting here with a band, like doing squats.
They'll have to deal with it eventually.
At some point. What are we talking about today?
So today we got a great email. A few weeks ago, we had a four weddings red flag or deal breaker. Do you remember this?
I remember because I love Four Weddings as a show. It's a show on TLC. Four women go to each other's weddings, and then they judge each other's weddings, and they score it. It's an amazing show that I can't stop watching. And the part of the amazing part is that they put four women together. It's seemingly no connection between the four. Some they tried to do Friends, which is crazy. And they ditch that. But sometimes there'll be a girl that'll be like, I'm having a wedding and my budget's $10,000. And you're like, okay. And then there'll be another woman on the show and she'll go, I'm having a wedding and my budget is $50,000. To me, those shouldn't be in the same competition with each other.
Right. That's like saying having totally different ingredients for a meal. It's like one person saying, oh, I have ketchup and bread. And the other person being like, and I have these spices and I have, you know, meats and you can't compare the two. And then whose meal is better.
There's nothing you could do. And then sometimes the woman will be like, my budget's $2,000 and I'm having a circus theme. And you're like, no, you're fucking not. There's no circus theme happening. For two, like how
that's
much?
Sort of
like,
the TLC thing. You ever seen like House Hunters?
I've seen some
They're
House
like,
Hunters.
I have like $4,000 to spend, and I would like a house on the beach and then they go and they're like, the realtor finds them like a house on the beach for this like incredibly small budget, and they're like, well, you know, like the closet space is just like not what I envisioned. And you can tell the realtor wants to be like, go fuck yourself for this price.
Well, that's kind of the reason I like watching with Jess. I would encourage everyone to watch Four Weddings with Their Significant Other, because you really don't get a taste. I would assume you don't know how your significant other is going to be as a bride or a groom until you get to the wedding. So this show,
you get to other people's weddings that you attend together.
That you attend together. But like this show, with other people's weddings, you're not sure of like money versus what you get out of it. And it's like, it's nice that we watch it together and she's like, oh, that's horrible. That's great. You know, like I just kind of like, okay, keeping an eye on this, you know, like it opens up a conversation that generally you're not going to have with someone you're dating.
Right. Unless you're this guy. So
yeah,
we got this email. I laughed the entire time I was reading it. I enjoyed every aspect of it. I'm going to read it.
Please read it. There's so many like human parts of this email. Like that this email like kind of like is the epitome of this show, where it's like this is an uncomfortable conversation had comfortably right here, because it is every part of it I understand. So hit us with the email.
Hi, Jordana and Jared. My girlfriend of 6 months hooked me on your podcast during quarantine. Here's the story in question. Yesterday, I was catching up on your podcast. 2 weeks ago, during the end of your You Up episode, you had a deal breaker question about the four weddings show. This might not have been, I'm not sure if this was actually 2 weeks ago. It's probably a little longer.
Whatever it might be.
Just for context, whatever. And by the time this airs. Never hearing of the show, I did a quick Google search. And to my surprise, the first image is someone who looks very familiar. I take a closer look, and lo and behold, it's my high school / beginning of college girlfriend of 4 years who was a contestant with her husband.
Amazing. I mean, how like jealous are you of the moment that like this guy had?
I am like shocked that he wouldn't know that. Maybe it's because I'm such a stalker. I'm always sort of like perplexed by these people who like find things out about their exes, when I just feel like I know everything there is to know about them currently.
You're like, maybe for this to be
like
hidden.
This would not happen to a woman, because she would like already know all of this. I just find it so funny. He was like, this got him to Google the show, and he found out through
the happenstance.
The only way
I could understand this happening is if this person is around my age and he was a late person to social media. That's the only,
right.
This is like from another time, this email. For like, this is like in the era of like, oh, I ran into my girlfriend and we had like, I ran into my ex-girlfriend and she's got a whole family. I had no idea. Like, that is not of this era. So
right.
The only way this could happen.
So you agree that it's like.
I agree. It's,
it's if it was your high school girlfriend, you'd probably know.
The fact that nobody texted him to be like, hey, dude, like someone would get that to me. You know, like outside of social media. But the way I could understand this happening is this guy joined Facebook like senior year of college and just, you know, friending an ex felt weird and he just never did it. And but I'm like jealous of him having the experience. Like, this is what you miss out on when you do stalk all your exes. Like, that juicy moment of like, oh my god, I just Googled four weddings and it's fucking, you know, Rachel or whoever
right.
it is. You know,
and then
like,
the conversations that you get to have with everyone who knew this person.
Oh, this guy's
like, oh my god, right?
Everyone is having a bad 2020 except for this guy.
It's so funny because like I feel like there was on the Bachelor like 4 years ago, there was a girl who like knew someone who knew who like went to camp with someone. She was like a sixth degree of like Jewish separation.
Yeah.
And like I knew all about the connection to like someone's camp friend's friend about her, and like that was exciting enough. Like, I can only imagine.
I even think I know who you're talking about.
You probably like, do.
Like that's, I agree with you. Just the subtle connection. Watching these shows, like watching the TLC shows, The Bachelor, whatever this like trash TV thing is. If you have any amount of personal connection, you're locked in. You want to, because it's a version of Schadenfreude. Like, you're like, you know, I want to see, like, I'm, it's kind of like whenever I think of, like, we've talked about this before, but like when I see an ex get married, when a guy watches an ex get married on social media, that would have been your wedding.
Right.
You know, like, when I get married, I'm not going to be like, the flowers must be daisies. Like, I don't give a fuck.
It's whatever you know, she's like, going to pick, right. Yeah.
I'll have opinions. At that point, I'm directing a cruise ship. I'm not directing a speedboat. You know, like, I'll be like, you know, stay away from, you know, like, I want, you know, a band. You know, like, that would be
right.
My biggest opinion, but like
band over DJ.
It wouldn't be like, well, we cannot have a saxophonist, not in my wedding. Like, I would never say such a thing. But it is one of those things where like this guy, like if I saw an ex four weddings, she's in the picture, I'd be like, oh my god, I have to see this.
100%. Yeah, you would go watch the whole thing. So he says, I immediately send a text to my girlfriend who's at work. See attached. We'll read that after. And we had a good, oh my God moment. Then the conversation changes. She tells me later that night that she went through every season on TLC to find the episode. By the way, the episode was in season 9. Then
oh
she
my
based
God. Well, I mean, do you think she like, I mean, at that point, it's easier to find the episode. The way
it
he's explaining it, it shouldn't be. It wasn't
it
like
shouldn't
she
be
was
that
like,
hard to find.
You know, it wasn't
Google
like yeah,
the name.
The name and see. Yeah, this is not like it, you could find. I mean, the idea that she was like, okay, season 1, episode 1, we start the search is a little far fetched. Okay.
So she finds the episode in season 9. Then she FaceTimed with her close friends and they all watched the episode together while she was in the office. She let it slip that they were talking shit about my ex and the people dancing at the wedding. I was hesitant to watch it, but we ended up watching the episode together that night. She continued to tell me while watching it together how ridiculous everyone... Sorry.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt because I'm already forming my opinion of why I'm on her side a little bit, but go ahead.
She continued to tell me while watching it together how ridiculous everyone was acting and dancing. Granted, this wedding was in Jersey and had its fair share of fist pumping, but still. What she did not realize that those people were also my lifelong friends who didn't tell you that they were on four weddings. Anyway.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Friends I've mentioned to her numerous times and shown pictures of us hanging out to her. To defend my girlfriend, the wedding was 6 years ago and my friends look much younger. I must admit the dancing was a little more aggressive for a typical wedding. See the second photo attached. But overall, they were just having a great time, as we Jersey folks do. I have to say that my style has changed considerably since high school, 10 years ago. But still, I'm very proud of where I'm from. I was excited for her to meet these home friends once quarantine is over. We currently live in an East Coast city south of New Jersey, and I'm starting to think that she is judging me from where I'm from. How offended should I be? Is this a red flag? And then just to go over the texts, they're at the bottom of the email.
Yeah, I got it.
He texts her, if you're going to be him.
Yeah, listening to the end of You Up from last week, I Google search for the Four Wedding Show, and this is the first pick. The second girl to the left is blank. And
then she goes, oh my God, she was on the show? And then it should be. And then the second picture is basically like a picture of like what looks like a grandma grinding with like
with
a guy.
With kids, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have any thoughts? I her response, like, I like his girlfriend because that's what this show is all about. Like Four Weddings, you're not watching it. Like, there, most of it is to like kind of make fun of it and be happy that you weren't there. You know, like the part of the email that's like actually like you picked out like a part of the email that I agree with, where it's like all your lifelong friends were there and they never mentioned it. The number one thing I think about when I watch Four Weddings is how crazy it is to have a camera crew at your wedding and three other women who are just judging. Like,
here's why under any other circumstance I would think that would be weird, but at a wedding there's usually actually many videographers and photographers, so I can almost see why at a wedding you might almost forget that they were there, in the same way that like you forget that like the people are video, because people are videotaping your wedding anyway.
I never thought of that. You're right. I guess then the videographer is just focused in on three angry women the whole time. Like
that's the weirder part. It's almost like that Love Actually part where the guy is filming the wedding, except for he just keeps doing creepy close-ups
sure
on, like,
yeah,
the bride.
I guess you're right, because I always watch it. I'm like, they'll like turn to each other and be like, that was cute. Like, you're like, shut up, it's their wedding. Like these, right. Like, imagine you're giving your vows and then you hear one girl you don't even know just sitting in the crowd going, I wouldn't have said that. Like, what do you say?
Here's the thing, though. People are kind of like saying that anyway. They're just not like on a show.
Yeah, I guess.
And
that is
fucked up part about that. We're all sort of on four weddings. We're on like 40 weddings, really.
Sure.
Like, every girl who goes to a wedding who's like in her like mid to late 20s and 30s is like looking at it to compare it to
their own,
or she's
idea.
Like, oh, I like that. I'm going to bottle that. For my own, or I don't like that, like, I'm gonna make
also
a point to not do that.
I mean I've talked a lot about, I do a when I did stand up back 700 years ago, I used to talk about how like old Jews in movie theaters are the loudest fucking people in movie theaters, and it's the same at weddings. Like, you'll hear old Jews at weddings like, oh, that's the cousin. Like, you'll hear that. Like,
right.
Oh, she used, that's Barbara's niece. Like, when they're walking the
exactly.
aisle, like,
they're just like,
oh,
screaming random facts as if there's like,
yeah,
not, there's, this isn't the most magical day of someone's life.
It's always an old Jewish aunt screaming like very weird, very vague descriptions that they think are specific. So it'll be like, right. She was in The Thing and Barbara's thing had the thing. And you're like, okay, let him walk down the aisle. We can hear you over the string quartet. Yeah. Yeah. But I do think it is interesting what happened. I can tell you what happened, though. She tells me later that night they went through every season of TLC, found the episode, and then she watches it with her friends first. That's what set her up for disaster. Because her and her friends watched the episode together and made fun of it, and they were cackling and they were laughing and they're having the best day ever. Finally, we found an episode of Four Weddings. We can trash this person's wedding. We can trash everyone in it.
Right.
And then her and her boyfriend sat on the couch and she probably redid the jokes she did for her friends that killed. Like, she found out what it's like to bomb. You know, right. Like what I know to bomb, because you'll
and now
have
she's
one
like,
audience.
Oh, like these, everyone was laughing at like these at this moment. Like,
yeah, she's repeating the jokes that she did well with her friends. And then when she watched it again with her boyfriend, the boyfriend was like, well, I know him. You know, like, right?
Right. This is less funny to me because like he's actually like a pretty good guy. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and you're like, well, why aren't you having as much fun with this as I am? And he,
right.
You know, the way he's taken it's, well, it's more personal. And he's also taken this direction.
This could have been my wedding. He's probably thinking this could have been mine.
This could have been mine. This could have been these are my friends. Also, he's doing a thing that a lot of New Jersey people do. And I my DMs are about to flood. People from New Jersey do this thing where they're like, they like take pride in these things that people make fun of. Like, they get ahead of what people make fun of. So he's like, yeah, we did a lot of fist pumping, but that's why I love Jersey. You know, us New Jersey people, we're fist pumping and we yell, go fuck yourself all the time. That's what we do. Not for everybody, but I love it. And it's like, okay, everybody's state has assholes in it. Like, it's like, it's this weird, like, Jersey strong thing that it's like, I get it. You're proud of where you're from because you grew up there and you have memories from being a kid. Like, he's taking it too personally, is my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I think it would be like kind of crazy for him to not think, first of all, the show is edited for entertainment value, right?
Yes.
So if you saw all the raw footage of the entire wedding,
yes.
Like if she saw that, if she saw the video trailer that the real videographer put together with like the sentimental moments, it wouldn't sure. be as funny. This is a yeah. show made for entertainment, so they're gonna pick out the most absurd parts of the whole thing for your girlfriend and her friends to their pleasure. It's like The Bachelor, like you get the edited version of the most absurd things that people are saying
even more to that point. Have you ever watched the video from like a bar mitzvah or a wedding where they go over to the dance floor? Everyone looks fucking ridiculous. Everyone looks out of their mind. I don't care if you're from Jersey or you're from Tampa. It doesn't make a difference. So, like,
right.
It is there to be made fun of. Like, go back and I have friends that I grew up with and, they, like, women for some reason. I don't know if this is a women thing, but always the women in my life. I grew up, I have two very close friends, both women that we were, like, babies together. And they're houses, every now and again they just like turn down the lights and put on old home videos, and I'm like, and I would always walk in there and be like, why are you watching these things? Like, this is so embarrassing. And they loved it, and they loved laughing at all the people dancing, and they like remembered lines from it like it was their favorite movie. Like, this is like a version of that to me. Like, anybody's yeah. dance floor would look ridiculous, not just your friends. It's anyone's friends would be like, look at that guy. Like, any wedding. I remember I went to a wedding where one dude got out of his tux and put on a basketball jersey. And I was like making fun of him like the rest of the night. And I was like, this is, and if a video camera was on that, I would do the same thing on the couch.
Right. It doesn't mean that you like think you're better than him or like,
no.
You're... Right. I think that I agree. I think that we explained this pretty well in the sense that like, first of all, it's her boyfriend's ex-girlfriend, so she already has a proclivity to, like, talk some shit. I don't think that yeah. this has any translation to, like, what she will think of your actual friends or, like, any of that. I think that's overthinking it a little bit.
It's overthinking it, and again, the Jersey thing is playing first and foremost me because he's mentioned it a couple times in his email. And this is something people do with their home states. Oh, that's what we do. And it's like, dude, that's what everyone does with a different accent. Like,
right. It's okay to own that you're like the little ridiculous parts of where you're from. Like, I'm from Long Island.
Yes.
Has its own. It has its own.
I'm from outside
of Boston. Say
I'm from outside of Boston. Believe me, no one's ever said anything about anybody from Boston. Yeah, I
think it's okay to be like a little self-aware of like the stereotypes of your area and like have a little laugh at them. Doesn't mean you're like a traitor to your state or your city or your town.
Also, your friends are just as fucking stupid as everyone else's friends. So it's like your friends aren't like unmake funnable. Like those could have been anybody and she would have made fun of it. I'm on her side. I think she did everything any normal person would have done. And I think he's taking... Also, the other thing to take personally is, like, he dated that woman. So this kind of goes back to the email that we did with about Kay's suitor from the dating show you guys are doing. Like, the woman who was like, oh, that's my ex. I'm kind of embarrassed by it. He's a little embarrassed by it. Like, he dated someone who would go on a reality show to try and win a honeymoon. Like, that's a little embarrassing. So I get it.
I get it too. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. 50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she's returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
I'm ready. You want to read it? This is our second male writer. UUP@badges.com. Yeah.
I think the audience is growing.
We got a lot more emails from men recently. Actually.
I think what's happened is, and as evident from the last email, is the men are getting brought in by their girlfriends, which I love. Like, and it's happening during quarantine. They're going, hey, you need some shit to listen to. Like, I have kind of like fallen in and out of podcasts I listen to because I'm like, I've had enough of these voices. I need, like, and also I think generally people are looking, again, if this is a plug for the podcast. This is the perfect show to put your brain on the shelf and let us take the wheel. And that's what we're looking to do for an hour, hour and a half. We've been even running long because both Jordan and I don't want to talk to our roommates that much. Okay. So
this is our one time a week.
This is the only way time we get away. So keep sending the emails. Keep spreading the word. UUP@betches.com. You ready for some awkward sex?
I'm ready.
J&J, big fan and loyal listener here. Saw Jared crush a stand-up set at the Comedy Cellar a couple years back while visiting NYC and have been listening to podcasts ever since. That brings a tear to my eye.
Back in the days of yore.
I know. After this, back when stand-up existed. I appreciate the insights and good advice you both regularly give out. I've rated, reviewed, subscribed, referred several friends, all that jazz. I have an awkward sex story for you. I was casually dating a woman I met on Hinge. It was something like our fourth date, and we hadn't had sex yet. We both decided it was time to take things to the next level. We had hung out at her place a couple of times before. She has a dog that is very friendly and cute, but also doesn't respect personal space and tends to repetitively lick any inch of exposed skin. Uh-oh. When it came time to move to the bedroom, she locked the dog out of the room and turned off all the lights. It was so dark, I couldn't see anything. No lighting at all. I was just groping around in the darkness the whole time. That sounds sexy. but that was far from the weirdest aspect of the night. Immediately following sex, she went to the bathroom, and when the door opened, the dog burst back in. I kid you not, the dog made a direct beeline for my semi-erect penis and started licking aggressively. Oh my God. This was during the period immediately following sex where the penis is extremely sensitive and any sort of touch is very unwelcome. I was completely unprepared for this attack and it sent shockwaves through my whole body. Oh, this is brutal. As I tried to cover my penis, I shouted out.
This is like a romance novel.
Yeah, as I tried to cover my penis, I shouted it out in horror. What the hell? The dog is licking my penis. Nah, I don't know if that's what I'm yelling out.
What would you yell out?
Ah! Like, I wouldn't be as descriptive. Just penis is just such a aggressive word.
Her like vagina.
Yeah, vagina and penis. Like, I guess dick is better. Dick, right?
I guess, yeah. I don't know. He wanted to use the real clinical term.
Her response was, with a dismissive tone, well, don't let the dog do that. Okay. Don't let the dog do that. It's not like I asked for this. If it was up to me, trust me, I would definitely not have allowed this to happen. My question to you guys, is this something that dogs commonly do? I've never been with a woman who owns a dog before, and if this is common, I will need to make sure to take precaution to protect myself next time. Also, given her nonchalant response, do you think this is a learned behavior of this dog, i.e. it knows that being locked out of the bedroom means sex is happening and makes a beeline for the penis every time? No, I don't think I think
that's something she would be aware of.
Yeah. Is completely excusing the bad behavior of a dog a deal breaker? We've since broken up, so this dog won't have a chance to become a repeat offender. Hope you get a good laugh out of this and looking forward to hearing your responses. Sincerely, feeling violated. So, Jordana, what do you think of this situation? You and I are both not dog owners.
We're not dog owners. I don't know if this... I mean, I can tell you that when I was young, we had a dog that wasn't neutered. We had a golden retriever that wasn't neutered. And he used to, like, try to, like, hump me and my sisters just, like, walking around. He was a very sexually aggressive dog.
Okay.
I don't know if this is the closest encounter that I've come to.
Yeah.
I would say the fact that she didn't really care is like the annoying part. I think the actual, if I had a dog, I would imagine, and it did that to a guy that I was sleeping with, I imagine my first response would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, let me get the dog out. Not like,
sure.
Why are you letting him do that?
Okay. My DMs are about to be flooded with people from Jersey who own dogs. Dog owners can be pieces of shit. And they can be. I said they can be. What happens with and I immediately dog people are out of their minds. Like in general, like just the nature, just by virtue that you and I, right 4 seconds ago, just said we both don't own dogs. Someone will think that we have no ability to have a reasonable response to this email. That's how crazy dog people are. They're like, well, you don't own a dog. You don't understand. I understand common courtesy. What happens with dog owners a lot of times is if they don't train the dog well enough, they blame the dog and then they don't take any blame themselves. Like to me, this is it's like a kid. They'll go, oh, like, but like with a kid, if a kid just came up to me and started humping my leg, the owner of the kid wouldn't go, oh, little Timmy just does that sometimes.
Right.
You know, or just dog owners do that. Like, just shoo them away. No, why don't you parent your dog? Why don't you, do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is her saying that this isn't my problem. Oh, the dog does it. It's like, well, why don't you speak to the dog and tell him to stop, right?
I also just feel like if she or anyone in this scenario were like not concerned with like how the way that their animal was reacting to you was making you feel, that in itself shows that they don't really care about you that much.
They don't really care about having responsibility for the pet.
Or the way that whatever that not having responsibility for the pet is impacting like other people and their comfort.
Well, that's the thing. When you don't look at the dog and go, bad dog, saying, hey, dog, stop, that's wrong, is a little bit of her admitting, I did wrong. I haven't trained the dog well enough. I should, you know, like...
Well, that's almost like the same thing as if your partner says something that sort of like is embarrassing you or is
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, like I've chosen this partner.
Yeah. If you're not like, stop, we're like, stop saying that or stop doing that. Like, it's kind of the same thing.
There's similar. I mean, Jordana just described her partner as like owning a dog. But
And vice versa.
I there is an element of like, you know, what are you, you know, I don't know. I get annoyed with dog owners because a lot of times they'll blame their own bad behavior on the dog. And this is kind of what this email is saying. Like, a dog licking your penis, like, that's a horrifying thing. Like, I wouldn't want that at all. Like, the idea that, like, a dog just runs in and just starts licking everything, you're like, okay, this is a badly trained dog. Like, so, you know, there's no, that's objectively done wrong. The problem becomes that, like, dog owners are, if they're out of their minds, they always do this thing. Well, you don't understand. Oh, that could be because of this. And it's like, I don't know what's to understand.
Problem.
Yeah, that's not my problem. I this happens all the time with, like, you walk around the city, like, the leash being all the way across the sidewalk. Like, and then... what they do is they go, oh, you must hate dogs. No, I hate rude people. You know, like, I think, like, well, what the hell, the dog is licking my penis also is, like, such a jarring thing to yell out that, like, I also would give the dog owner a little bit credit. Like, I don't even know what to say to that.
Like, right, maybe, like, that was just her initial reaction of, like, okay, well, like, stop him.
Yeah. Like, I I'll take care of this later. I'm a little embarrassed. So, like, I do understand where it's like, if I heard, like, the dog is licking my penis, I'd be like, stop him now. Like, like, don't you not want this?
The obvious answer is to, like, not allow this to happen.
Yeah.
But I would also follow it with, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I would follow up. I'm so sorry. I got to get him to stop. We're training, or I need to start retraining the dog. Like, but all of those responses take some, you know, sense of responsibility. Like, I think we kind of live in a little bit of a world right now where nobody takes the loss. And it's like a version of saying, hey, I'm sorry, the dog's out of its fucking mind, is a version of going, I didn't properly train my dog.
Right. People should do that. I agree.
Red flag, deal breaker.
Red flag if the dog is licking you. Deal breaker if the response is not, like, apologetic.
Yeah, it's a deal breaker if it's, like, amongst other things with the dog. Like, you that you're taking no responsibility.
Right.
Like, that you're just like, that's what he does. That's little Barky. And you're like, no, Barky sucks.
I agree.
What would you call it?
Doggy dick daycare. Sure. What about you?
I feel like you've totally checked out on this email. You're like, fuck this dog.
Yeah, I guess.
I was thinking sit boo boo sit. Remember the old TV thing?
The puppy who lost its penis? I don't know.
Do you remember the TV thing, sit boo boo sit? Good dog.
No,
remember,
what is that?
Well, like, after TV shows, they would have this, like, outro, like, for the production company. Sit, Ubu, sit. That's it. It's it was at the end of Family Ties, Spin City.
Family Ties.
Yeah,
isn't Brooklyn. That show from, like, the 80s?
Yeah, okay. I like TV.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
All right, emails. Hi, J&J. My boyfriend of a year and a half is looking to buy a house and has been thinking about this for the whole time I've known him. So they've been dating a year and a half. He has said things here and there about me eventually moving in and has asked me my preference on certain areas. However, the overall general feeling I get is hot and then cold and then not inclusive of me. He has made comments like, this house has a 2-car garage so I could get another car. He made a comment, if I had 50K more, I could look into this neighborhood. Without ever bringing me into the equation. I have savings and I would possibly be interested in helping, but the larger issue is that he wasn't bringing it up and we weren't having an open adult conversation about our plan. He invited me to house showings, but in a way that's like any desire to see a house tomorrow at 9 a.m. or would you rather sleep in? Which felt like an obligatory ask since he knew we would be waking up together the next day. The one house showing we went to together, he was awkward when the realtor brought up middle schools and made the comment that wasn't of concern. He is 30, I'm 27, and I know we are ways away from marriage/kids, but to me, him buying a house and us moving in together is something that we should have been able to have an open dialogue about. The glossing over went on for months, and I finally brought it up and said how I honestly felt in the situation. He responded by saying it was a financial decision first for him, and he would try to be more inclusive and that he would obviously want me to move in eventually. My lease has another 10 months, and I'm not 100% sure I would want to move in right away, but it just felt weird that he is making this huge life decision and barely consulting me. Our talk left me feeling unfulfilled, and I'm not really sure where to go from here. This isn't the first time he has avoided having hard conversations, and when I bring them up, he is good at diffusing the conversation, but I always feel unsatisfied for having to bring it up in the first place. I read attached, and I think we are the attached avoidant relationship, so I do tend to overanalyze, and he tends to think unilaterally. Am I reading too much into this? Would love to hear your thoughts on this. Thank you. Confused Lisi.
This is a tough one.
What do you think?
Well, I think there's a transition in every relationship where, and I think we've talked about this before, but that the dating, it goes from, the conversation goes from me to we.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think that there's a, like an actual talk like there is when you become dating, but it's got to feel natural for both parties that, like, you know, a wedding invitation, are we going? It's, you right. know, a wedding invitation.
That's
comes,
the difference between like a relationship and like a serious relationship, I would say.
I would say that too. So it's like, so when Jess and I first started dating, I own my apartment. And when it came, you know, the discussion of like, okay, when she started saying like when we started talking about moving in together, she would say, I don't want to move into your apartment. That was part of the discussion. Mm. And that, you know, and at that point, those are
what was her reasoning for that?
She wanted to live downtown. She liked living downtown. She was like, I want to be near my friends. And also I don't, and a part of it was that she didn't want to feel like she was moving. I think
she was living in your,
in my space.
Right.
I think that was like,
so
a
it was
big
your
part
apartment and she was living, she didn't want to feel like she was living in your apartment.
I think that was like most of it. Like, it, like she didn't want to feel like she was like a renter in my home. Like, you know, it's like, it,
right.
Like, you know, like had an apartment in my apartment, you know, and I understand that. Like, there's not, I heard that and I was like, okay, And also, that's like part of relationships where it's like, you have a different feeling than I have. Like, in my mind, I'm like, hey, like, and also like, hey, it's cheaper to move in here. Like, we don't have to move. Like, I can split the cost of the move from you to me. Like, I was bringing up other sides. I'm like, here are the pros and cons. Like, and you go through that together, right?
Right. Yeah.
So in this situation, like, and I also do understand that people generally have their own plans of like, I'm going to own a house by 30 and I'm going to be at this level of my career by 32. Like, that could be anyone, male or female.
Right.
So, but when you start seeing someone seriously, they have to work into those plans, right?
Well, yeah, that's, I think that, yeah, if you're making any long-term plans and you see a future with the person that you're dating, like, you should be taking them into consideration. After a certain point, if you're not, I do think it indicates that you're not as serious about the relationship. But yeah, again, I can see the other side too, where it's kind of like, this is something that I'm doing with or without you. And I kind of like, this is something that I want for a reason that has nothing to do with our relationship. Although in a sense, it kind of like, it's hard to make that argument because it's a house where like,
yeah, I think this is like out of order to me. Like, well, to me, like to me, like, don't they talk about moving in first and then, like, if you're dating someone, you're like, well, I'm buying a house, it's happening. And it's like, and then you start seeing someone, you get more and more serious. You have to go, all right, well, like, remember that episode of The Office where Jim just buys his parents' house without even telling Pam?
And you're like, surprise.
Yeah, like, you'd be like, what? Well, what? Like, in
I
what relationship?
Live in your parents' old house.
Yeah, and also, like, in what relationship does a surprise house, like, make any sense? You know,
right.
like you didn't even talk. And, like, the person asking, like, she said in this email, like, you know, how awkward it got when the person asked about the school system. And it's like, dude, are you just, like, what? If his reasoning for buying a house is, like, I want to have equity, like, he needs to maybe find another way to do that, or maybe include this I don't know. I think it's too early to buy a house together, but it's also like, I
right.
think the, like the, order
I can understand his dilemma of like, this is something I want to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it for a while and like, I am happy to be dating, but I'm not at the point yet where like every decision in my life needs to feel like it's like, I still want to be independent enough that I'm making decisions that I want on my own, which I do think is like fine. It just means like he's maybe not like thinking about how serious his relationship will be. I think she's right and that guys are able to compartmentalize that more than like a lot of women are. So I think that we would take into consideration like the whole picture and correct me if I'm wrong, and that's just an excuse.
That feels like an excuse to me because I've kind of gone through this. Like I had already had my apartment that I was an owner of, and then I had to like, and then we have this discussion. I moved downtown. Like I'm now in a new apartment, and you know, to me, like when we talked about it, I was like, well, if that's what makes this whole, you know, like if that's how, I don't know. It's. Because I remember with my apartment, I was like, man, it would be so easy if she just wanted to live here. You know, like,
well, what if he's like, what if in his, you already own that apartment. So what if in his head, he's like, okay, we've been dating a year and a half. It's going well. I'm not sure that we're going to get married, but like, I feel like it's a pretty serious relationship. But at this point, I just don't know yet.
So
I don't know if but I want a house regardless. And like,
so I think that's what she needs to say to him. Like, you know, she said, like, she wrote a very important part. I think she has to, like, own what she's looking for. She's like, well, I could help with the apartment. No. That's not about that. You said that you have a lease that's up in 10 months. The lease has another 10 months, and I'm not 100% sure I would want to move in right away. You have to get to the point of wanting to move in with him. Like,
right.
Before
then you have, like, an actual, then you're going to him with, like, a clear vision.
Sure.
And this is what I want.
So I think the idea of like him buying a place, but like he could do what I did. He could buy the place, get into it, and you could say to him, "Hey, I want to live with you, but you got to find someone to be a tenant, and do things that way. And it's like, and move forward with me there. It's a very tough thing.
Let's say he's like, okay, I'm not sure that I'm not at that point where I'm like ready to propose. I'm not 100% sure that this is going to last forever. Do I want to like do something which I consider like a way to like financially secure myself or something that I'm doing like in terms of my career or my finances? Do I want to like involve this person in that if I'm not sure? Like what if it didn't work out?
I wouldn't. I would be like, to me, if I was in his position, the thing is like, it's tough to tell someone like if his goal is to own a property, a house, I could see how he'd be like, this has always been my goal. But it's weird because it's like, if he was taking the relationship seriously, then he would think about her amongst her goals.
I think that's the real question. It's not even about the house.
It's not about the house, because I'm thinking of like, you know, I think of these things with Jess involved because I take our relationship seriously. Like if I didn't, I would be like, yeah, I'm still buying this fucking house. This is kind of my plan. Like I think this is like sometimes people are in relationships lazily, like, right. Like where it's like, yeah, you're here. We go out sometimes. This is my relationship. And it's like, and they're like, well, that's done. I have my social life all done. Now let me take care of everything else and we'll see how that works out. You know, it kind of feels like that to me, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm saying it does feel like that, but I also like I can understand a line of thinking that he has of like, I'm not sure how serious this is going to be. And again, like I agree, like that is the question. That's what she really wants to know. The house is really just like an excuse for that. Mm. So I think like what she should do is sort of clarify like where she sees the relationship going. And I think that will lead into the conversation about the house, because if she's like, they've been dating a year and a half, which isn't, it's not super long, but it's also not very short.
Yeah.
I think it's like, actually almost like it makes sense as like a time of like one person maybe wanting to move faster or deeper into a relationship than another. But I think it's a totally acceptable time to be like, well, where do you see this going? Like if you're buying this house, do you envision like getting married and like raising kids in it? Or is this something that you want to like flip in a few years and really like, you don't really foresee as like a long-term thing that you're going to have.
And I think an important part of her email, this isn't the first time he's avoided having hard conversations. When I bring them up, he is good at diffusing the conversations. I think this isn't like a battle of you versus him in these conversations. You have to decide what you want. If you're saying, hey, I enjoy my time with you, I envision myself moving in with you as things are going today, whenever that will happen. Do you see that happening, considering how we're dating now? Like, I think she has to own a little bit more of, like, what she wants in her plans.
Right. And I'm saying, like, and then, like, finding out, I'm saying the only reason I was like, well, find out from him about, like, what he wants to do with the house is, like, so that you can see if that aligns with your plans.
Yeah. And you know, it becomes this thing where she was like, well, I read the attached, and I think the attached avoidant relationship, so I tend to overanalyze. No, I don't think it's overanalyzing to go, hey, you're bringing up buying a house. If you buy a house, that's going to impact the decision of whether you move in with me. That does affect my life. Like, he's operating in a world where his decisions don't affect her life, and that's not true. Whenever you're in a relationship with someone, every decision you make is going to be, you know, felt by
especially
the other person.
Especially if you see it going somewhere.
That's what I'm saying.
And so I think, like, that's a fair question to ask at this point.
Yeah, and I think, like, the idea that like he operates in this vacuum. I buy a house. That's nothing to do with you. Well, it does have something to do with me. That pushes back. You know, like I was
I'm looking to like live with like my lease is up in 10 months. I was thinking we would move in together. So if this is going to be a house that I'm going to be moving into, I think that like we should have that discussion.
Yeah. And I don't want to live in a house that was just bought and I have to like live as the tenant of my boyfriend. Like that's a perfectly reasonable thing. That was kind of how it was brought to me. Like that's not the exact words that my girlfriend used, but in, you know, it's the words are, you know, that's kind of how I've thought about it.
Right.
It's difficult.
I think that's fair.
It's fair. It's difficult. I think like all of these transitional things are very difficult where it's like, yeah, the like, you know, I'm talking about like going home. I want to go see my parents. And it's like my parents are like, come. And I go, well, I have to like talk this out with someone.
Right.
You know, like I can't just I could hop a flight, but it'd be very like to me, I wouldn't feel comfortable just like, hey, I'm tomorrow at 8:00. I'm getting on a flight. I'm going to go see my parents. Like,
right. You'd have to discuss it with someone.
I would think that's part of a relationship. Someone could hear that and go, why? It's your parents. I would go, well, I would understand
right,
that.
And that's
like,
the difference between a serious relationship and like a casual relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, if he can't even talk about the idea of you moving in right now, then maybe he's not even thinking that far ahead.
Right.
And he doesn't see this as seriously as you do.
The inability to talk about it, I think, is like one of the bigger issues, because I do think that like it's common and it's okay for people to want to move at different speeds in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's like totally crazy to think that like one person could be ready for the next step before another person. I don't think that means that person will never be ready or not.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like people take different amounts of time before they want to like do anything, move in together, get married, have kids. Like just because someone isn't on the exact same page as you, I don't think that's necessarily even realistic to expect the two people are going to want the same things at the same time with every aspect of them moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right.
So the question is more like, are you willing to talk about like the fact that you aren't ready and when you think you might be ready, or like that you're unsure, or articulate like what you're actually feeling about the relationship in like a real way? Or are you just trying to like brush off that conversation? Because I think that's really the bigger question.
Yeah. Are you brushing off this conversation? Sometimes it feels like people brush off these conversations because they're too lazy to end a relationship. You know,
right.
Like, I don't know. I like how things are going. So they just want to like run in place where they are. Why don't we just keep, you know,
until you
doing
break
this?
Up with them. Right. Like, yeah,
kind of. Yeah. There's a feeling of that.
Well, I think guys also kind of capitalize on that because they're like, are you having fun? I'm having fun.
I know. Yeah.
Like, why do we need to talk about anything? Like, we're having fun.
Why would we ruin a good thing? You know, like right. it does become that. Yeah.
Which is super annoying, but like. You know,
yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, hey, we're going away. When are you going to pack? I'll pack when I pack. You know, it's like, no, well, I'm trying to like figure out what I'm going to bring on this trip. Like,
right.
Also bag sizes. And the other person's like, who cares? And you're like, yeah,
right.
Well, we kind of have to know these things.
Why do you have to plan everything?
Yeah. And it's like, I understand that. It's again, I've waffled around this email with you because I'm like, this is easier for us to like say than it is for them to have this conversation. Like,
for sure. Yeah. It's definitely very difficult.
Let's do another email. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. You ready?
Yes.
My friends and I love the podcast, and after I told them about this text I got from a guy I dated, they suggested I send it to you. Here's the backstory. I met this guy on Hinge about a year ago, and we have been going on dates and hanging out for about 3 months. One weekend, we had plans, and when I texted him that morning to confirm, he told me that he had booked a last-minute trip to visit his ex in Costa Rica and try to get back together with her. Oi! After that,
that's
I didn't hear from him. Have a good trip. After that, I didn't hear from him for months until April when I got this text. I teach first grade at a low-income school, so I think that's where he was coming from. Curious to know your thoughts. If he really didn't need the stimulus check and wanted to help people, well, wouldn't he just give it to a charity? Do we have to? So let's read.
Well, we'll read that. So she gets this text from the ex that left her to go pursue his ex in Costa Rica. So you're him and I'll be her.
So this is April after he had left for he's back from Costa Rica.
Clearly.
Okay. Hi. Hope you're doing well. I know this is a little heartbreaking for you since I know you love teaching so much.
Hi. Yeah, I definitely miss my kids.
I meant to send you a message a few weeks ago to see if any of your kids were having a hard time. I got the stimulus thing or whatever, and I know I don't need it as much as other people.
Most of them seem to be doing okay.
Such a weird text.
So she gets this text from him.
And she says, curious to know your thoughts. If he really didn't need the stimulus check and wanted to help people, wouldn't he just give it to a charity? The whole thing made me feel weird. My school has done a lot to help out our families during this time, but handing them a check from a guy I dated almost a year ago felt too weird.
I'm just imagining, like, her like presenting this check to these like lower income school, like, you know, like my ex. And it reminds me of like Wet Hot American Summer when the art teacher is like telling the kids about her ex.
Hey, these new crayons are a gift from Hinge David.
Like, from Hinge David, and you know, he wants you guys to know that he's there for you and that he's sorry that he left me for Joanne in Costa Rica.
And our situationship didn't work out, but you guys get to have these new crayons. What do you like? I don't know. This text is so bizarre.
This is very transparent to me. Like, he clearly like wants some sort of like in to come back into her life or to like reopen the conversation. And he's trying to make it about like him being a good guy so that she can't be like, well, fuck you. Cause like, it's a hard thing to say to someone who's like, here, can I give you $1,200 for like impoverished children?
Well, he doesn't even offer the money. He just kind of like says he's the type of guy.
He doesn't really offer it.
No,
you're right.
What he does, sometimes a lot of people, what they do is they'll bring up things that make them sound good, but offer no actionable. So now she that, yeah, like here, I would just send the address for where he can send the money. Like, you know, or some good ideas for some charities. I mean, it's just bizarre because out of the woodwork, he's pitying her. I know this must be hard for you. Like, this is like a fake amount of emotional connection to me.
Right. Like, you know what's harder even than not being able to teach is being dumped when you thought you had plans with someone so that they could go pursue their ex in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I would say that's even harder probably for most people.
We're all doing fine here. Also, this is, again, during quarantine, the dates match up. He is reaching out to anyone. All this stuff happening during quarantine, you always have to think of they're going back to people they once that they everyone, all these guys that are sending texts out of the woodwork. It just so happens to be week one of quarantine when meeting a new person is impossible. So you go back to all your old people and you try and find who will be nice back to you. And he was like, and he knew that he had this like memory, which makes him sound like a listener. It makes him sound like, oh, I remember. Oh, you know, this, all of this hardship in the world made me think of the kids. And it's like,
right. And you, dude, and how much you love the kids. And you've mentioned that you like teaching.
And I got this extra money and I'm sure this will help somebody. Never mentions where it will go. This all feels like, you know, right now with everything that's happening in the world, there's a weird segment of people that are finding a way to profiteer off of what's going on. And
the worst people.
They're the worst people, but they it's very easy to do right now because all you have to do is sound like a good person. And now you are a good person because all of this is bullshit. He doesn't ask, where can I send the money? Like, it's one thing to say, like, this money should go to charity. It's another thing to go, I'm giving this to charity. What foundations help schools the most? He didn't say that.
Right. This is so much worse than just being like, how have you been? Because it's like
awful.
Such bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, this is like, what are they? This is like fake activism. Like, this is like, you know, this is posting.
What do you think she should say to him?
She should never speak to him again. It's over. like this. Most of them seem to be doing okay. If a guy will leave you for Costa Rica for an ex the day of a date, he will do these shit things too and try. I think she needs to start with someone new. Anyone who would, you know, just bail and then come back and make it about the kids.
The first thing that you should say if you leave someone for Costa Rica and you want to get back in touch is to say, hey, I'm so sorry about the way that I treated you and everything ended. Like, that would have to be the first thing you said. You can't come back and just pretend like that never happened.
Instead, he's Mother Teresa and he's caring about the kids. How are the kids? How are the first graders? Like, We're all fucking waiting for our call to cancel the date. You know, like,
right. They could show you some money from Miss Lippy's ex.
Yeah.
Ex thing.
It's just like, these are the, like, it is so weird. Like, dating is so tough because there's just so many different ways to get in touch with someone and not admit to, like, hey, I was a fucking asshole and I'm coming back to you because I don't have any other prospects and I just need someone to fucking text me back. Like, and he didn't know how to even say
that. Would almost be kind of refreshing. If you're that in that situation, you're thinking about texting your ex, use Jared's text.
Hey,
you just said,
I have nobody else. And my phone, I look at it 7,000 times a day and there's never a new text. And I just need excitement. What's up? That should be your opening.
Honestly, I feel like a lot of people would find that refreshing.
I think so too.
Yeah.
You want to play some games?
Let's do it. Okay. Red flag or deal breaker? They have all their grade school picture day photos hung on the wall of their apartment, 8x11 framed.
Well, this seems real. It's like, to me, this is like if that was if you walked in, here's where it's okay. It's okay if this person is just like a clown. Like if someone's like clownish in every
it's
other
like
way.
Ironic.
If they're ironic in every way and you're like, this guy's a weird dude, this chick is a weird chick, but I like it and I think it's funny and it's really quirky. And then you walk in the apartment and it's all just 8x11 framed pictures of them from first grade until high school. I respect that. That, like, you've taken a personality and you've taken it to the nth degree. If, like, I hate when someone shows no form of personality and then they have this one thing that's their funny joke. I'm like, hey, why you did you
this
need
doesn't
this?
Align.
Yeah, this doesn't align. So that,
well, let's give it a more realistic twist.
Okay.
Let's say they Instagram a throwback picture of themselves.
Okay.
Every week. Baby picture.
And that's their thing. They just like, and it's like current mood is the caption and it's them angry.
A new pic every week.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Like, you're playing along with something that's happening. It's not like they invented TBT. If they were if they invented their new, a new Instagram day, that would annoy me more.
Okay.
Like if they were like, oh, Sunday, you know what I do. And you're like, no one
cares.
It's
flashback Sunday.
Yeah. It's grade school Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know.
What if they have grade school pics in their dating app profile?
I never understood that. I never.
A lot of people do that.
A lot of people do it, and it seems to be like a joke that never worked ever.
Or like no one ever explained why it's funny.
Yeah, and I guess like, I don't know. No guy looks at that and is like, perfect. Like,
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah,
I'm sure some do.
Apparently.
Wrong kinds.
I don't know. It's not. Yeah, I never understood the grade school picture. In any, what would you do? Red flag.
I always feel like it's a little like depressing almost when like, especially if the person like was like a really cute kid and it just seems like they're trying to like channel the past or like living in the past or something like that.
Sure. It's almost online with like those people that only like nostalgia. Like that's all
it's
they
like,
talk about. It's like,
let's
okay,
live
enough.
In the present.
Yeah. Like, do you hate life that much? Like your childhood wasn't even that great.
Right. I agree. I would say it's I agree with you. Like if it's like kind of like their thing, I think I'd probably be a red flag either way. I'd probably get over it, but like make fun of it and sort of see it. I mean, when I met Mike and I went to his apartment, he had a framed picture of like his family dogs, which I thought was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Which I told him about. Those were not brought to the new.
They didn't make it to the move.
But that could just be me, and everyone probably thinks I'm the asshole.
I mean, I walked. Jess and I were walking down the street the other day, and we saw a framed picture, and it looked like three roommates, and it was like three dudes in their 20s, like doing like a family portrait. And it was funny. I could imagine that if I went to like a 24-year-old dude's place and he had a picture of him and his two roommates hung up on the wall, Like, it's almost nice that those guys cared enough to put anything on the wall. Like, at least they made the effort to do that. Like, I think that's fun. I could be on board for that.
I agree with that.
Let's do another.
Okay.
Can we read this?
Yes.
Hey, J&J, I have been an avid listener for years, and thank you for endlessly entertaining me during the quarantine. You two give the best advice. I really need some right about now. 4 years ago, my boyfriend, who I thought I was going to marry, passed away. It was the hardest thing I've had to go through. I thought I would never be happy or meet anyone again. It took me years to recover and be emotionally healthy enough to start dating again. I got back in the dating pool, put myself out there, dated some jerks and some great guys, but nobody compared to the man I lost. 6 months ago, I met this incredible guy who could be the one. I'm so lucky I found someone that checks all the boxes except one. He occasionally smokes cigarettes. Smoking has always been a deal breaker for me. He reeled me in and I was in too deep when I realized he was a semi-serious smoker. He smokes a lot when he drinks, and then he will have the occasional one or two during the day. He never smokes inside and brushes his teeth. Right after he smokes. I'm usually pretty easygoing, but find myself nagging and getting angry at him when he smokes. Then he gets annoyed at me for nagging. I have repeatedly told him I wish he would stop. I don't want him to die too. I can't go through another death. I know this is a choice he is going to have to make, but how do I encourage without nagging him to quit? Will I just have to wait for him to make the decision? So this is like a red flag deal breaker email?
Yes.
How do you feel?
I kind of feel like you have to, like, I would say I would go into it with her. I would think about the fact that I would go into this like he's never going to quit. Like, he's going to keep doing whatever he's doing and accept that, and then make your decision whether or not that's something you can live with or not. I think when you try to change people, it creates this like awkward, tense situation like we're talking about here, where it's like she feels really strong about something, which is her total right to do. But I think people have to change because they want to change, not because you're telling them to. So I think that I would just go into it being like, this is who he is. He's going to be smoking. If this is something you really can't deal with, I would leave. It's really much harder to do than it is to say than it is to do. But or you can just say, I accept this about him. I don't like it. It's not my favorite thing, but I'm just going to accept that this is like something that he does, and I'm going to let it go.
Yeah. I think so much about this is perspective. It's a very, very well-written email. I totally understand where she's coming from. She has to understand that he's not looking at it the way you're looking at it. And I think that's where it becomes, I think she's taking it personal because of what's happened in the past.
Her past, right.
And like, if she had written this email, hey, my boyfriend gets mad that I'm nagging him to stop smoking cigarettes, I don't want him to die, I wouldn't have this opinion. But because her email starts with a story, a very tragic story of her boyfriend who she thought was the one going to pass away, that's the backdrop for all of this. And then she writes, I can't go through another death. She sees smoking cigarettes as him trying to die. And it seems like from the way the email's written, and that's all I can go off of, but it seems like she takes that as like he's not respecting the past what she has dealt with.
Right.
And I understand, I don't think she's wrong for feeling that way. I'm just saying, the angle with which she looks at smoking cigarettes is very personal and very specific. You're smoking cigarettes to try and kill yourself and to like put yourself in a position to die while knowing that I've gone through this before. And it's like, he's not looking at it that way. He's probably in his 20s, thinks he's invincible, thinks, I smoke occasionally and I'll stop once I get older, but you know, it's not a problem. This is like in the way people rationalize going outside without a mask or going, you know, and drinking too much. He's rationalizing it in the I'm a young man and nothing will ever take me down way. And she's writing in from the perspective of I've dated someone who thought he was invincible and he wasn't. And so I think like she has to empathize with how he rationalizes cigarettes, and it's not about being...
It has nothing to do with her.
It has nothing to do right. with her. I think that's like... And what you said is exactly right, where it's like, okay, this goes on the resume item of him. You know, his resume has all these positives, and then at the bottom it says, doesn't know Excel and smokes cigarettes. And to me, when you find someone great, they're all going to have pluses and minuses. Like,
right.
Except for the person like, I'm living with.
Who's perfect.
Who's perfect in every way.
Right. And I think that, like, again, like, that goes for anything that's sort of an important issue for you. It can be, like, you can try to change that about the person or try to convince them to change. But I think, like, and maybe someone will change a little bit or do it less sure. than they would. But I think that has to be their decision. And I don't think that you can, like, if it's the thing that is going to be, like, whether you're in or you're out, I think you have to decide that for yourself. You can't put that on them.
Yeah, I brought up the mask thing because I think it kind of like is relatable, because there are some people that are like, when you say, yeah, I wear my mask outside, and when I go into a business, I put it on. There are people out there that are like, well, I guess you're putting people that you walk by at risk to die. And it's like, well, they're looking at it from another angle. You know right. what I mean? Like, and I that's like, and so where she, and when people hear that, they go, well, stop, get off of me. Stop waving the more righteous path
right.
above my head. And it's like, that's the same thing for him. I'm sure he's going, I'm not going to die. You know, that doesn't, if he could speak honestly and not be hurtful, he would go, what happened to you is horrible, but I don't see that, you know, lightning doesn't strike twice is probably the way
right.
he's thinking, which sounds very, you're not being very caring. Like, that would be the you know, so I understand where he's coming from, where he's like, yeah, I you know, this is, I'm not that guy, and that's tough.
Right. And I don't want to have to, like, live my life a different way than I wanted to because of someone telling me that I have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think it's a red flag. It's not the biggest deal in the world. I think she can also, like, she's asked how to stop nagging. She can say, like, I've made it clear how I feel about this. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to be around when you do it. I'm going to walk away. I understand you need to do it, but I hope that one day you'll see my side on this.
Right. I think that's fair. Yeah.
You want to do one more?
All right, last one. Shows up to your socially distanced date in a full plastic body covering, like in Dexter. This I thought of this one after watching your haircut.
Oh,
on Instagram
when
story.
I got a haircut, and this guy, they're like, put on your trash bag
hazmat.
With sleeves. Yeah, it was like a hazmat suit. If they showed up, I would be like, nah, I'm sorry. We're taking this two different ways.
Right. You're on two different levels. Someone might find that hot. They'd be like, I'm so protected.
Yeah, look at you. Look who cares. Yeah.
Right. I agree. Yeah. It wouldn't be a match for me, but I would respect their commitment to the cause.
Good on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck with everything. Enjoy your life.
For sure.
That's it. That's what we got. Jordana, we did it again. We solved dating.
This was fun.
A lot of fun. Always great to see you. Anything else to push? Anything going on?
That's it for me. What about you?
Jordana's on Twitter. Go follow Jordana.
I am on Twitter.
Are you enjoying
it? Very exciting place. It's fun. It's like a rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit hole.
I love it and I hate it. Just like anything. Anything else in the world.
I'm with you.
It's a scary. It's kind of scary, actually.
Oh, it's a very dark, sad place.
Yeah.
Like, you can go down a rabbit hole of, like, especially, like, the responses to, like, big accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh my God, how quickly this devolves. You're like,
right.
People take things
very personally on there.
Very personally on there. And it's a different world. You can think that's the country, but it's not. Like,
think about all of history. Like, imagine if there was Twitter in, like, World War II or something, like, any of that stuff. Like, it's crazy.
It's a little crazy. And I think, like, it makes everyone go a little bit more nuts because there's so much information. Like, people will share a link there and you'll be like, what website is this? And you're like, oh, I can't believe I just like ingested that information.
Right. You're kind of like, you feel dumber for having like passed by certain info.
Yeah. And then you find something funny and you're like, oh, good. At least somebody's right. making a joke, you know? So, but that's it. Jordana, thank you. Good to see you again.
As always.
We'll be back next episode.
Bye.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.